Are you ready to give up on Christianity? Maybe you've stopped going to church and you've stopped reading your Bible and you've stopped talking to Jesus. Maybe there's something in you that you're over whatever this religious system has been offering you since you've been a kid. And if you are in that place and you're wrestling with real questions and yet you still find yourself spiritually curious, I'm glad you're here today as we talk about deconstructing our faith. Thanks for joining in. Let's get started. All right, folks, as you know, here on Whiskey and the Writings, we start off with some bourbon. And before we do, I just want to introduce myself because this might be the first time you're checking in. My name is Joe, and I've been in pastoral ministry for over 24 years. And recently, I have stepped out of that role to begin this YouTube channel where I combine two things that I love talking about the most, whiskey and the Bible. This is a channel where we ask tough questions. We wrestle with thoughts and ideas that you're typically not going to hear on a Sunday morning from on a stage behind a pulpit. This isn't your self-help channel. This is a channel where it's safe to explore, to think, to consider new thoughts, new ideas in ways that are not threatening, and it's safe to do so. And that's what Whiskey in the Writings is, and I'm so glad that you're here today as we talk about a really important topic, deconstructing. Before we do that, though, we're going to introduce our whiskey for today. And because this is such a big topic and one that I'm very passionate about, I brought out one of the finest whiskeys you're going to get on the market. This is Blanton's. And it has its very distinguished look, Blanton's. Specifically, the cork here at the top, it's got a little horsey on top. This is a Kentucky bourbon, and it's one of the finest you can get out there. I don't break this out very often. I bought a bottle for my daughter. She got married recently, and it was a gift to her and her new fiance, and I bought another bottle for myself, and that's what we've been drinking, and that's what I have poured today. So whatever you have in front of you, if you don't have something in front of you, pause. Go get something, unpause, come back, and let's dive in. This is Blanton's Kentucky Bourbon. That's good whiskey. So we're talking about deconstruction. And if you don't know what that term is, let me just share with you. Like, maybe you're in it and you didn't even know there's a term for the thing that you've been feeling. But there is a growing movement in mainly Western Christianity. Not to say that this doesn't happen in, you know, different other areas of Christian movements, but particularly in the West, there is this religious system, this beast of evangelicalism, of conservatism, that has driven church culture for the past 100 years. And it's a beast that's been growing and growing and growing. And the outworking of that has been a lot of different things that has, in some cases, caused a lot of harm in people's lives. And maybe you've been on the other end of that, where you have experienced that kind of hurt and pain that the church has caused. I know myself, I've been a part of it. I've seen it firsthand. And a lot of the reason why a channel like this exists, so that we can talk about these kinds of things and work through them in a safe place. And so this thing that has been occurring over the past couple decades is really a situation where people who grew up or have been a part of a mainline church, whether that's non-denominational, could be Baptist, could be Presbyterian, Methodist, whatever, circle, Lutheran, that have come to realize the faith that they thought they knew, or at least the church that they thought they knew, isn't the church that they know now. And so that discrepancy has caused a unsettledness, a tension within the hearts and minds of people. And you can only sit in that reality for so long until eventually it bubbles over and pours out from you. And this is what we're seeing in Christian movements today, in the culture today, is this angst of wanting to ask questions that have not been safe to ask, wanting to wrestle through concepts and ideas that historically we've been told to be quiet on. These are things like gender and sexuality that, no, we don't talk about that. It's, you know, things like women and their role in the church. No, we don't talk about that. It's like things like power and church structure. You know, where pastorally speaking, people become more than just a pastor. They're now CEOs. And what does that do to a person? Things like, what role does a mega church have to play in context to a local church community? Is that good? Is that bad? Well, all of those conversations have been sitting under the surface and are now bubbling over. And it's been a point of contention because in most cases, church leaders have not known how to deal with that. And so what's happened is that out of a reaction of fear, the response to those who are questioning their faith and questioning their church has been a negative response. And thus that has caused people to begin to disconnect and withdraw from traditional church circles. Now, I'm speaking from experiences that I've had personally, and I'm speaking from experiences in conversations that I've had. Again, I've been in ministry, pastoral ministry, for over 24 years now. I've seen this firsthand in churches, people that have experienced, I have witnessed how this has been played out in people's lives. And so I am speaking very generally, but I am speaking from a place of experience where I'm hoping to speak into that narrative and offer perspective. And so if you're listening in and you're a church leader and you're wondering what this guy has to say about deconstruction, you maybe found this channel and you're like, okay, who's this dude and what does he have to say about any of this and why is he drinking whiskey while he's doing it? And you've stuck around this long, there's going to be some challenging things I'm going to offer you, church leader that's in your position. For those of you that are listening and you've tuned in and maybe you've begun to unravel your faith a little bit, you're unpacking more and more the things that you've been taught and how they actually play out in real life as an adult, and you're slowly withdrawing from those traditional environments, I want to speak into your life here in this video as well, and maybe offer some helpful perspective and insight. And maybe you've walked away from the church altogether and you found this channel because you know, you're still processing it, but you don't go to church anywhere and you've kind of given up on that traditional model of experiencing your faith, and that's something you don't want to do with have anything to do with. Well, I want to speak to you too. But all of this, and this is my preface, this is coming through the lens of a pastoral heart. You know, even though I've retired from that expression of my vocation, meaning I don't work in a church any longer, there's still a desire within me to walk beside people who are questioning and wrestling with all the things that they've been raised to believe and maybe the inconsistencies that they've seen that played out in their lives. And so that's what this video is about. As we wrestle through it, we're going to look at three different areas: church leaders, those who are beginning the process of unpacking their faith, unraveling their faith, and those who have completely walked away from it. So let's get into our first group, people group. If you're a church leader listening to this, I want to share with you a couple things. One, people aren't walking away from the faith because they are giving up on Jesus. It may look like that and it may feel like that, but that's not the case. I've been in different business circles for a good portion of my career, and I've read a lot of different business books. And one of the things that I remember reading, a study that was done, oh gosh, about a decade ago, which was all about management and how managers manage people and why people leave companies and things like that. And one of the stats that came out of this paper that was done, the study and survey that was done, is it said, people don't quit organizations, they quit people. I'm gonna say that again. People don't quit organizations, they quit people. Which is to say that when, if you're in an organization of any kind and an employee quits the job, the studies actually show that people quit bad leadership, bad management. They quit the people they're working with more than they'll ever quit the job. And so when people say, I hate my job, it has less to do, statistically speaking, it has less to do with the job that they're performing and more to do with the job of the people that they're working with. And so when we think of people leaving the church and walking away from these institutions that have been created, I believe that stat rings true, and we need to wrestle with that, church leaders. And I've been one of them for, again, all of my adult life. And so the reality is that people don't quit organizations, they quit people. And so when people are leaving the church, the question I wrestle with is that, are they really leaving Jesus? Are they really leaving the faith? Or are they leaving the people that have represented Jesus and represented the faith? And this is a challenge that we have to sit in. And I know you don't like to hear it, and I know I don't like to hear it. How many people have quit following Jesus because of my example? I can actually name some. I literally know people that through the lens of my faith, like, and this has nothing to do with intentions. Like, I wasn't trying to be a bad image bearer, bad leader. I wasn't trying to be a bad pastor. I was sincere and genuine in all that I was trying to do. And yet people still left, and they left the faith. And that was through the lens of how I modeled Jesus to them. And I've had to reconcile that. And there are people in my life I've apologized to this day. And I think, leader, if you're watching this and listening to this, and you haven't tuned me out just yet, maybe instead of getting so mad and blaming people for leaving the church as if there was something wrong with them, maybe we need to look in the mirror a little bit more and go and ask the question, what kind of faith are we living, and how are we leading out in that are causing people to leave? What is it that I'm doing? How am I living? And let me follow up with this, because it's like, well, I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong, Joe, or if I am, well, I'm not doing anything wrong, right? Maybe that's your posture. But I would ask this, leader, that maybe you'd humble yourself and go ask the question. Go ask the question. Sit down at coffee with someone that's left your church, and you see them now no longer participating in faith anymore, and ask the question, can you help me understand what role did I play in you giving up on Jesus? Did I play a role in how I lived my faith in front of you? Was there something that I taught? Was there something that I said? Was there something, a way that I led? Leader, if you're listening to this, my encouragement to you is to take a deep breath and actually sit and ask questions. Before we cast judgment, before we get mad, before we start blaming, before we start saying that all these other things are contributing to them walking away from the faith, look at yourself in the mirror and ask, what role did I play? People don't quit organizations. People don't quit churches, they quit people. Let's just put it that way. People don't quit churches, they quit people. And so when you're reflecting on those who have left, what role did you play in that? Okay, so that's our first group. Our second group are those that, Our second group are those that are in the process of actually rethinking their faith, but you've not actually spoken that out yet. Maybe you're too afraid. Maybe you're in a church environment where asking questions is not a safe thing to do. And so if you were to ask a question to your pastor or leader, they would look at that as some form of lack of faith, and they would project shame and condemnation on you for even asking those questions. I was in an environment like that where, not recently, but early on in my ministry, where even asking the questions about the things that I was told to believe was an act of disobedience to my church. And if you're in that place and you're wanting to wrestle with some of the things that you're struggling to wrestle with, but you don't have a safe place to do that, let Whiskey in the Writings be a place for you. I want to be a resource for you. Feel free to leave a comment in this post and I'll reach out to you and we'll have a conversation. I'll give you a call if you need someone to talk to. But I want you to know that it's actually okay to ask questions. It's okay to be inquisitive about the things that you're choosing to believe. Don't take everything that the person says from the stage at face value. You should be able to think and to consider and to wrestle with it. Now, I know that there are a lot of great ministers out there. I know a bunch of them who do a really good job of being an authentic and transparent pastor who's willing to engage and to wrestle with the big questions. I also know there's a lot out there that are not. And I want to encourage you that your desire to know, to wrestle with, to debate, is actually an okay thing. Let me share with you a story in the writings, in the scriptures, where something like that actually took place. And it's actually found in the narratives, the biographies of Jesus, and this is around Jesus' resurrection. So Jesus comes back to life. He's been dead 3 days. He comes back to life. He appears to the women and then to the disciples. And then we have a story in Luke's account of these biographies. So this is found in Luke chapter 24. And in Luke's account, we're told about two people who are walking on a road. They're leaving Jerusalem because Jesus is dead. He's been buried and it's over. The movement's over. Everything's done. And so what do you do when this movement that you've been following is over? Well, you go home. And this is what these two people were doing. They were going home. And on the road, they were having a conversation and Jesus shows up in the middle of their conversation. Now, I want to focus in on the subject matter of their conversation. This is how Luke records this story. He says this: "Now that very day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and debating these things, Jesus approached and began to accompany them." So notice here, and this is out of the NET, the New English Translation, I love how it presents this. They weren't simply talking about their faith or the experience that they had. They were debating it. They were arguing. A debate requires two opposing points of views to actually engage in conversation in an attempt to actually reconcile or to convince another one of the point of view that you have. They're arguing. Now, we don't know the nature of their argument in the sense of, like, was it a heated argument? Were they mad at each other? Was it a friendly debate? Was it passive? Was it what kind of debate? We don't know. But the point is that they had experienced something that they were trying to reconcile in their brains. What just happened? I thought Jesus was going to be the king. I thought Jesus was going to be the one that was going to set up the kingdom. But he's dead. What does this mean? And they're debating. They're not just simply having a conversation. Do you see this here? And I drive this home for a reason. Because debate, a dialogue of difference, is a part of the Christian experience. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay for you to wrestle out loud with others in a way that leads towards mutual edification. And so if you're in a place, again, and you've not been able to have that experience, I want to encourage you to reach out to us at Whiskey in the Writings. We would love to be a part of it. If you have a question, you want me to wrestle with you. I'm not the Bible answer man, but I will respond to your questions. Put your questions in our comments. I'd love to hear from you. And so I want to go on this journey with you, and I want to encourage you with this. The journey you're on is okay. You're okay. Jesus is not mad at you because you're questioning your faith. Jesus is not going to condemn you to hell because you question your faith, right? Jesus encourages you to wrestle with your faith. He didn't get mad at these guys. He showed up in the midst of their conversation and engaged with them. That's a beautiful image, isn't it? Now, finally, for those that are have walked away and you are done with church, but you're still spiritually curious, you're still in a place where you're interested, but you're done with like the organized side of it. Like you've seen too much, you've experienced too much. Listen, I know I came from a very evangelical, like Pentecostal even background where, you know, crazy things happened at altar calls and experiences were had. And I'm not downplaying those experiences. I had very beautiful and wonderful moments, but I've also seen the abuse of power in those environments and how that power was used to manipulate people into experiences. I know exactly what those are like. And I can understand the reason why you might want to walk away from all of it. Here is an encouragement I want to give to you. We should never judge Jesus by the abuse in his name. Let me say that again. We should never judge Jesus by the abuse in his name. If you are in a place where you are walking away from Jesus because you've seen people hurt, you've seen pain caused by leaders in the church, that is not a sufficient reason to give up on Jesus. And so I want to invite you into a conversation where you can begin to explore your faith. You've deconstructed, you've let go of the theology that is just been destructive, you know, things like burning in hell and what does it mean to get to heaven and how do we understand sin? These are all things that we wrestle with on this channel, we talk about on this channel openly. And that's not to say that I'm the final word in any of this. But it is to say we are a place where you can explore that, where you can wrestle with that. And Jesus is still worth pursuing. I understand what it looks like to be in such a place where it's like you don't even know what your next step is, and you don't even want to try to believe in Jesus because of what you've seen happen. And I want to share with you a story. And again, this is another story about when Jesus resurrected from the dead. I know, crazy, right? But we believe it, and there's good reason for that. But that's another video. If you're in a place where it's like you're just not even sure, and you're not even going to take a next step because you have that pain inside of you, I want to share a story about a guy that shared that same pain. Let's put it like this. Have you ever had an experience where you spent time with someone for a prolonged amount of time, let's just say 3 years, and over those 3 years, that person invested into you and spent a great deal of time with you, and during those 3 years, you experienced amazing highs and tough lows, but you got through it together. And this person was someone who spoke life and value you into you, but not only you, but also gave hope to a lot of people. And there was a promise around this person. They promised you things like, hey, you know, this is going to be something we're going to experience forever. We're going to be together forever. This isn't going to end, and we're going to build something great together. And then all of a sudden, that person is gone. And you're never going to get them back. Have you ever experienced that kind of hurt and pain where it just sits in you, the sorrow and the loss, and you're borderline angry, right? I would argue you're not alone, because the person I'm describing was actually a follower of Jesus. His name was Thomas. He was someone that walked alongside Jesus, saw the miracles of Jesus, experienced the teachings of Jesus, and was offered the hope of a new kingdom, of a new rule and reign on the earth that was going to be better and more beautiful than anything they had ever experienced. And then Jesus was killed. And so then you're left with this gaping hole inside of you of like, was it all a lie? Was this some big practical joke by God? What's going on? Thomas is the ultimate like example of someone who's just over it, who's ready to be done, who is broken inside. And so when Jesus resurrects and Thomas begins to hear reports that Jesus might be alive, he's like, there's no way. There's no way. It's over. And there's this incredible story in John's biography about Jesus at the resurrection. This is in chapter 20 of John's gospel. And this is how Thomas experiences Jesus. It says in verse 24, now Thomas, called Didymus, was one of the 12. He was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, we've seen the Lord. But he replied, unless I see the wounds from the nails in his hands and put my fingers into the wounds from the nails and put my hands into his side, I will never believe it. This guy was so wrapped up in his sorrow and his frustration and anger. Can you hear the I love how it's written here. I will never believe it. I read that with a tone. Maybe I'm inflecting too much here, right? We don't know. We don't have tone here. But I'm done. I'm done. You could not convince me otherwise. Unless I touch. And it's like he's giving the impossible, right? He's offering the impossible. You can sit here all day long and say, oh, he's alive. But unless I touch it, I'm not going to believe you guys. I'm over this nonsense, right? This is what he's doing here. And then Jesus shows up in the midst of his doubt. Here's what I want to encourage you with. Again, we don't judge Jesus by the abuse in his name. Just because someone hurt you doesn't mean that Jesus hurt you. Just because a church did you wrong doesn't mean Jesus did you wrong. People. And if you were listening to earlier when I was talking to leaders, people don't quit churches, they quit people, right? They quit pastors. They quit church members. Right, they give up on that. But that's not Jesus. I want to encourage you with this. The same way that Thomas was like, I'm out, I'm done. You may be doing that too. I'm out, I'm done. Jesus is standing there with you. He is inviting you into a reality where he says, will you explore me for who I am? Not what others are saying, but for who I am. And if you read the rest of the story in John's biography, Jesus shows up. And he offers his outstretched hand and he says, Thomas, I understand. Touch. Feel. I'm here. And I want to encourage you with this, that Jesus is there. He's with you. You can trust him. You can give him a shot. And maybe whiskey in the writings is a place where it's like, here's a dude drinking bourbon. I've already gotten negative comments about that. That's okay. This channel's not for them. Where I'm going, I have nothing other than just a dude here talking about the Bible, drinking some whiskey. I have nothing to win you over. I'm not trying to get you to my church because I don't do a pastor of a church or anything. I'm just inviting you into a conversation. And so, that's my first take on deconstruction. And there'll be more on that to come in future videos, but I just want to wrap up with this. Thank you for tuning in. This isn't an all comprehensive, and I'm sure I missed a bunch, but that's what I have for us today. Again, we're drinking Blanton's. Pick yourself some up. Also, get yourself a Whiskey in the Writings whiskey glass. You can go over to storiesoftove.com. And you can help donate to this channel, to Stories of Tove, and you can get yourself a whiskey glass. We'll ship it to you. That being said, like and subscribe. Thank you for joining us today. And if you find this helpful, please share it with someone. Get the word out. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you tuning in. And thank you. We'll see you next time.